Welcome to the School of Self-Worth, a podcast for ambitious women who know they are worthy of an astoundingly great life. Join us weekly as we redefine success, set and sustain boundaries, and reclaim self-worth. I'm your host, Nicole Song, an award-winning journalist who left it all behind to become a best-selling author of 3 books and work-life balance coach, helping ambitious women live an aligned life filled with clarity and confidence. Every week, I'll bring you diverse and meaningful conversations with successful women from all walks of life who share their insights about what it takes to be brave, joyful, and yourself every day. Every single episode is thoughtfully designed to leave you feeling empowered with tangible tips and advice that will lead you to your next breakthrough. Even the most powerful women experience imposter syndrome. In today's podcast episode, you'll learn what it takes to move through the idea that you don't belong and how to step into knowing you are exactly the one to lead the way. Today, I am so thrilled to welcome a very special guest, Kate Herrera Jenkins, a member of the Pueblo of the Cochiti and the founder and director of Native Strength Revolution. It's a nonprofit that equips a new generation of Indigenous healers through leadership training and yoga certification. Kate and her Indigenous team work with communities and organizations to educate, elevate, and uncover a new possibility of wellness for Indigenous people. She shares how Native Strength Revolution became the first Indigenous charity partner with the New York City Marathon and how she moved through imposter syndrome to be where she's at today. Are you a high-achieving woman struggling to feel like you are the right leader at the right time? This episode is for you. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be here today with Kate Herrera Jenkins. And Kate is this incredible woman who I've met years ago. And we were just chatting a little bit before we started. And we're like, when did we first meet? Because it's really been quite a long time. And I have been someone who I feel like has been witness to a really incredible journey for Kate. She's the founder of Native Strength Revolution, which supports Indigenous peoples to really address their healing and their wellness and their leadership. She's a member of the Pueblo of the Cochita, if I got that correct. And I'm just really excited to be in this conversation with you because there's so many things. It's like funny when you know someone, we know each other really through development circles. And I've really loved watching Kate, your growth. And at the same time, I'm so excited to be able to have like a really good juicy conversation with you today. So welcome to School of Self-Worth.
Well, I'm so excited to be here, Nicole, and I can't wait to just uncover whatever we uncover today in our conversation.
Absolutely. Let's see. So let's see where we navigate first. Let's start with where you and I know each other. We know each other from the same development circles, and I'm trying to remember. I feel like I recall different moments connecting with you. Maybe you remember, but it feels like I've just known you kind of my whole life in certain ways also, because we've been together or have been in many, many different trainings together.
Perhaps was it at a light year training in Arizona? Were you at that one?
Arizona.
No. I feel like I've been around you in person. It's not just always been virtual. You're beyond a virtual friend and cohort and comrade. So I'm not sure, but I believe and I know Lightyear does mean so much to both of us, and it's really helped create a beautiful foundation for what we both do. So I love that no matter where it was, that this has been something that's helped us grow together in what we're passionate about, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, what I've loved is, you know, she and I both do a lot of work around vision work and around goals. And what I really love around the kind of work that she and I specialize in is that, and we were also certified coaches at the same time, but it allows you to really develop your own pathway and to really be clear on who you are and the direction that you're going. And so what I've loved is watching you grow in your pathway, Kate. It's been really powerful. And so I'm curious if there's so many places to start. I'm curious if you would actually mind sharing perhaps where you felt about yourself, like sort of your ownership or lack of ownership of self and power before you started doing this work and this journey, and then how you actually started to step into that journey of being able to say, okay, I'm going to found my own nonprofit. I'm going to become a national leader. I mean, her Native Strength Revolution was at the New York Marathon this past year as the first. I mean, you tell me, there's so many amazing, incredible things that you've been doing. So if you could even really start and share from that perspective, that journey, I think would be a really beautiful place to start.
Yeah, for sure. So I've always done my best to be in a place where I can listen and be obedient to whatever that purpose is for me to serve on this earth. And I think definitely before Lightyear, I floated in and out. I was like, oh, I don't know if that's really something I should listen to, when indeed it was a very strong message of like, girlfriend, like, get out of that path, go on this path. And I would say let's say it this way, that being able to be in a space where I could hear clearly started with my yoga journey. So being able to calm those fluctuations of the mind that are just like everywhere, so I can really be in a spot where I can listen to what God or creator is saying, like, this is your purpose and this is the path that you were created. Only you were created to be on. And so I think before that, I do remember like a lot of like almost tantrum, like as a child, like, okay, I'm really getting this message, but I don't want to do that. That's going to be too hard, or somebody else will do that. And then realizing when you, that vision starts to come with more clarity and a lot more signs, you're like, oh man, that is me. And that is where our teacher Suzanne stepped into my life, and being such an amazing guide that she is, to confirm with the system of leadership that she teaches and Mind Gems and all of the beautiful work that she shares and has shared with us, and now we share with others, that yeah, like being able to truly listen and to really understand that intuition is a gift, and that is such a guiding force for where we need to be on our path. And so through yoga, had an amazing journey to become a business owner, which before Lightyear, just like, oh my God, like how, this is ridiculous. I couldn't even pass math in college. And you know, I'm supposed to be a business, you know, own a business and pay taxes and employ people. And so that was really, I would say, where I stepped up as a leader. I thought, oh, I'm just going to do this, teach yoga. It's going to be great. Everybody's going to have a good time. And just like any business, there's a lot to it. And it stretches us a lot. We grow a lot from that. And then being able to understand when it's time to shift in life and when that moment is and that opportunity comes. And so with the already creating the nonprofit that I have, it was a little bit on the back burner, still a huge passion for it. Yet when someone stepped in and said, actually one of my teachers said, hey, I want to own a yoga studio. And I thought, oh gosh, you know, I've been saying I need to shift. I want to shift into leading my nonprofit full time in a much bigger way than that was time. And so that really brings us into the present. So really starting to just understand what a quiet space is, what a receptive space is, to be able to receive the clear message, or we call it intuition or signs or however, like, okay, this is the next part of your path.
So beautiful. And I actually had forgotten you owned a yoga studio, because you've done such a powerful job transitioning into your nonprofit. And now I'm recalling some conversations we had back when you were really in that place of contemplation and that shift. And what would you say then helped you really in that moment? Because I feel like when we make really big transitions like that, and I'm actually reading the book Quit right now, and that book is really powerful because it talks about when is that moment where you know to leave something to be done. And I'm curious for you, how did you make that? Because I'm sure that nonprofit was not at a point where you felt like it was sustaining you necessarily. And how did you make that shift to say, okay, no, I actually am going to sell this and then really choose this pathway that's calling me?
Yeah. So it's really the concept of surrender. So if our hands or our claws are so tight into the thing that we hold so precious, which was that yoga studio. It was a baby to me. I'd owned it for 11 years, grown it from nothing to a really beautiful community. Yet as long as I was holding on to that, there's no room for me to receive into my hands any more gifts. So it's really that. It's, I mean, that's what faith is leaping into what's not yet seen. And trusting that, getting the message. I think so often we do want to play it safe. Well, I'm going to wait till it's very logical. I'm going to wait till this works out and, this, because I've got rent to pay, or I've got kids to feed, whatever the thing is. Yet that's usually how, in my experience, not how Creator has worked. It's like, you've got to completely surrender this. Otherwise, you're not going to be fully with the gift that I have for you. And so, and for me to know that this studio was going to someone, a friend and a great yoga teacher and somebody who I'd known through this work, through Vision and Goals, that owning a yoga studio was in her vision. I knew absolutely the time was right. Really, actually in that moment too, we'd had a flood. The studio had completely flooded. So we had to replace everything. We had to close down for a bit. And she still wanted to buy it. In that moment, I was like, whoa, she's really in it, man. Like she's committed. She's going to do this. She's taking it at its ugliest. And yet from that, she was able to create her own studio, you know, not just like paint and flooring and all. She had all that, yet just really build it into who she was and what she wanted to be able to offer the community and steward how she wanted to just make it hers and the communities.
That's remarkable. Yeah, that is remarkable now. And it's, I am remembering some of these conversations when that was going on, the flood and all of the yoga studio. It was a lot that you were going through at that time. And then you had to take that leap into your nonprofit and grow it out. And it's really been cool to watch it grow since. And I'm curious for you, like, what is it that helps sustain you in those moments, like where the flooding is happening in the studio, or you're in a new nonprofit and you're like, is this actually going to work? Is this going to do the things I'm going to do? Because, you know, it seems to me like it's very successful. And then this actually goes even to the heart of what I even want to have in these conversations and in this podcast, is because I feel like on the surface, it can look like people are so successful. It can look like, look at Kate, she is crushing it. They were in the New York City Marathon, like leading the march, like all of these things in the parade. And look at Native Strength and Revolution, it's just a powerhouse. And it can look like, oh man, how do I ever get there? Or they never have challenges. They never have moments of doubt or struggle. And while I know that's not true, I actually feel like it's important to share those conversations of like, how do you navigate that to be where you're at?
Yeah. So also in that moment of that season when we were deciding to sell the yoga studio, I was actually out of state helping my mom, who had had a devastating fall. So helping her. And so I was in the role of caregiver, and it was just, and I was, so I wasn't even in my own home with my family, with my husband. I was in this different place. The studio was completely flooding as I was in it. I couldn't even run to the location. Not that I could have stopped the flood. So it was everything at once, just like realizing none of this is mine. So God, like, what do you want me to do? Like it almost felt like some of the stories that are biblical, like, oh my gosh, like the flood took it away. My mother is, she can't survive on her own right now. So I'm literally in a different tribe away from my home tribe and in exile in a way. And so when it comes down to those moments in my life, when everything is just like way beyond my control, then I realize everything's way beyond my control. And we give up the control because we never had it to begin with. Like, I really do believe we all are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we have this wiring in us that is so unique, that is only able to do the thing that we are placed here to do, and to be able to receive that. Instead of like when things get just when doors start to close, to use all our energy to try to keep opening them up. It's like, no, let those doors close, release the thing that you thought was like so important, because there's so many bigger things to come. So absolutely. So like in that moment, like sleeping in a hospital, knowing that my business is like completely devastated and I'm not even, you know, there's no one near me that, you know, is like my husband's not nearby or anything like that. It's where I do cling to spirit, or I do cling to my higher power. Because otherwise, yeah, that would have just knocked me out. I don't know what I would have done. And it is that faith of, let me get into this beautiful, sacred space. So like we talk about in the boundary shield, the people are familiar with that, it's like the only thing that should be in that space is me and spirit, or higher power, whatever we consider that. And sometimes it takes all these kind of crazy events and catastrophes to realize like, oh, let me just get back to here, into this space, and just be here for a second, because that's all I got. And it's such a strengthening thing, that and process that does happen. And it does, again, take patience and faith to know that, wow, something is bigger. So yeah, had you told me just those things, I almost even forgotten about some of those magnificent things that happened with my organization over the last year. But if you had told me like 18 months before those things were to happen, I'd be like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. How? I can't even like leave this hospital room right now. Or, you know, I don't even have a yoga studio that's functional, or, you know, and that's my livelihood. So, yeah, that to me is getting back into our sacred space and realizing like, that's what we need in the moment. Like, and then so much more beyond what we can even imagine will follow, and not expecting it. It's just the cycle in my experience of what happens, how it happens, how God makes it happen.
Well, you say it so beautifully, Kate, and it is something that I think it can be that experience of trust always comes when there's no evidence that it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. One of my coaches was talking about that this week, and it's super interesting because when you have the evidence, it's super easy to trust. Like you can look back at everything now and you're like, oh yeah, that was so smart of me to trust. But at the moment, you know, in the moment you're like, what am I trusting? I don't know what to trust, because there's no evidence. And then, but that really is that leap of faith. And I love that you're speaking to it so powerfully. And I'm curious for you, if you have had those moments a lot then now running your nonprofit, and where, or not even, I'm curious about the nonprofit, but I'm actually also curious if that's happening for you currently in life, because I'm always interested in the expansion of the people that I talk to. Like if there's a place right now you're having to trust as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, some of it is the obedience, and some of it is making sure we're really learning from our past failures, which failures I don't think are really failures. They're just huge learning experiences. You know, so anybody like that we might consider on or who has been on this earth, somebody like Steve Jobs, like those failures were like amazing. And like all of our lives are changed, right? Because of you know, the things that they learned from those failures. So, for me, so for instance, so what my nonprofit does is we are a Native nonprofit, so Native American First Nations. So we want to equip people who are serving Indigenous communities to be amazing leaders, and mainly in the wellness, health, movement, yoga, nutrition, dance, however we can be better stewards of our body type of activity. So we have trainings, and so I do my best to be very mindful in how we assemble the people that are coming to these trainings. And so we do our best to scholarship as much as possible, so it's not such a hardship for people to attend these trainings and go back to their community or their reservation and be a yoga teacher or help people with nutrition in a natural way. So yeah, I'm very mindful of that. And so I've made mistakes in the past, for sure. And so even as we were like last minute, trying to figure out who, because there were a couple last minute people that wanted to join the training, like what is really the best thing for this training? And so being mindful to trust our intuition with some of the actions and reality of the actions that we'd seen from these applicants. And so that's been super huge to create an amazing group. Well, we didn't create the amazing group. Something bigger than us created the amazing group, but being mindful for the people who are all in to create a super safe environment with other folks that are just as passionate and that are going to give just as much towards this training, of their time, of their heart, towards this training. So that's really where I can give a recent example of being trusting our intuition and knowing like, oh yeah, I remember this other time this happened with this other person in a training, and this is a very similar pattern. And as yoga teachers, that's what we do. And we try to help. We start to recognize patterns that might not necessarily be serving that person, or, you know, so that's been a big part of it. And to really create a group or create a situation in a training where people it'll just create more fire in their heart to want to serve their communities. But yeah, definitely made a lot of mistakes in the past. Yet, like if we learn from them, it's not a failure. Mm-hmm. It's a learning moment, and it's where we continue to get better. And also surrounding myself now with a great team who also reminds me, hey, do you remember that time though, when we did this thing and it worked out this way that wasn't really the best? That's huge too. So I have to thank my team for being that for me as well.
That's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. It really is like the failures are simply something to get something else from, to get the mm-hmm. next level in, right? Would you mind sharing, how did the story, really sharing the story of how the New York City Marathon came about for Native Strength?
Yeah. So I've run the New York City Marathon before our nonprofit was involved five times. And so I ran for charities. So New York City Marathon, over 50,000 runners from around the world, 10% of those runners, so over 10,000 people, are actually running for charity. And what that means is that you commit to raising somewhere between $2,500 and probably $4,000 for a nonprofit. And you get an entry to get into New York, because I think when you enter their lottery, just as a Joe Schmo runner, you have like about a 6% chance of getting into that marathon. So it's a fun marathon. It's one everybody wants to be at. There's just nonstop encouragement and cheering along that route. And it's New York. It's the greatest city. And so as I was running and I was being this charity runner and these New York City marathons, I was like, man, it's a goal that I'll have a charity that one day, like somebody's wearing like our logo and our mission on their running singlet. Like that's what, because you have a lot of time, you know, I know you run too, that you have a lot of time to think about things during these kind of, you know, and anything that'll make you feel better in the moment too, when it gets kind of tough. So that's where it started. And so, being able to having that experience of being a charity runner and knowing the charity manager from that organization, which happened to be the Tillman Foundation, Pat Tillman Foundation, and him helping me with my application. So like people, like once they know your heart and they know like she's all in, and she was such a great team member. Like I think that's like one of our biggest missed resources is people that we already know that we're just too scared to think like, oh, they're so busy. They're like running this huge nonprofit. Like the Pat Tillman Foundation, yeah, it's pretty huge. Yet this person, Ethan, took his time to help me fill out the application with exactly how, with of course, with my heart and my words, but like this is what they're going to be looking for. And you're doing it. And that's why I'm helping you. And this is how you need to be strategic with it. And so, and then we put our application in, and then there we were. So we became, as far as we know, that year and this year, the only Indigenous nonprofit that is a charity partner with the New York City Marathon. And on top of that, being involved with their diversity team, being able to get there for opening ceremonies and lead the Parade of Nations, which was a pretty cool first for us as well, and meet all of the, Elias and Meb, all these huge named marathoners, champion marathoners that were there as well. So like just those moments of struggle within that marathon and that vision that happened, like turned out way bigger than I had ever imagined. I just thought we'd have a few folks, but it was a completely amazing team that was running, all representing their tribes and being able to have a fantastic experience there together as a group was just beyond what I had envisioned. I couldn't have envisioned that.
It was so incredible. I loved seeing everything you all were posting about it. And then, you know, we also share in common Carla Drumbeater, who was also on Good Morning America, right, for the experience.
Exactly. It was so cool. I mean, and that, see, like, it's like, one of our members, she wrote at, like, because there was a call, like, if you have an amazing story. And so I passed that on to her team. She was the only one that filled out the form. They got in touch with her. New York Roadrunners highlighted her on a story. Then Good Morning America got a hold of it. Then Runner's World Magazine, you know, and it just like, oh my gosh, like, wow, what a cool part to be, or a cool thing to be part of her journey. And her growing as a leader and as an athlete and as a just total inspiration for our organization and beyond was just like, what? That was crazy.
Well, it's so cool. And the thing is, I know about you is like, that's just one thing that's going to keep growing. Like, I know that you all will keep expanding. And it was simply like it was a very visual, like easy to understand success. And at the same time, like, it's only the beginning of like so much more success for all of you. So that was really cool.
Yes. Yes. And we ended up raising, it was our biggest fundraiser of the year. So we ended up raising $25,000 for our organization.
Oh, wow.
Incredible. So yeah.
That's amazing.
And we had a good time.
Well, this leads me. Yeah, good. That's the most important part. Amazing. Well, this actually leads me to kind of a different question than which I think comes up for people too, is how do you maintain your worthiness when you actually are succeeding? And have you come up against that? Like when you are actually having the success and then, you know, imposter syndrome can come in for people, like, who am I to get this? And I'm curious if that comes up for you, if it came up for you in that situation.
Oh, absolutely. In that situation, actually, no. I really knew like we deserve to be there. And the team was so amazing. When we start to realize that things are bigger than just us, like then we start to like that starts to fall away. Those incorrect beliefs start to fall away. And it's always bigger than us. That's the thing. Is, you know, doing this Light Your Work has been amazing because incorrect beliefs will fall into our path and be blocks all the time. And then we do need to have some kind of technique to remind us of the bigger commitment. Like we've got to clarify that commitment. Is this commitment about me and like getting a great time at the New York City Marathon? And like, no. It's like being able to fund our programming. It's being able to like see these people on our team run the New York City Marathon for the first time or run their very first. There was a couple of them as their very first marathon for the first time. And to be able to be this just amazing hero for their communities, literally, you know, like Carla overcoming like a lot and like coming off insulin the way that she did as a diabetic, like we need to like be shouting these. So like, yeah, absolutely. Like, I, you know, that could have been there like, oh, who am I? Like, I'm the slowest runner out there or whatever. Yeah. Like those voices, but then realizing like, oh my gosh, it's so much bigger than that. And that is something that with this organization, I think identity and how we allow, what's the right word? Well, for me as a leader of a Native organization and being biracial, definitely in the beginning, like there was a lot of like, I don't deserve to do this. Like I don't live on my reservation now. I'm half Native, half white. And I felt really insecure about that. And so there are moments that this organization almost crumbled because I got so into that, into my head that I'm not the right one. Yet I realized, girlfriend, there's nobody else doing this. And it's not even about you. And you're also going to be reaching out to people who are the same, that are, I mean, there's a lot of biracial folks of all cultures, right? Or multiracial. And so that can be something that is a struggle for many of us to realize, do I deserve to do this? Somebody else is better deserving of this. And then if you take a step back and maybe think, well, I'll wait for that to happen. And then it doesn't happen. And then you realize, okay, well, I'm the only one right now, so I'm gonna do my best. And that's all I can do. And the people that are aligning with you know who you are. It's not like I'm saying to be something that I'm not. And I think that's why it's good for us to find our own heroes or whoever that is. Like even learning like somebody like Jim Thorpe, who NFL Hall of Fame, Olympian, Native American, he was also half. So it's like, oh my gosh, wow, that's so cool. You know, so just realizing like, girl, you're not the only one. You're cool. You're legit with the skills that you have. Just keep on going. So that is definitely something that I still need to keep myself like really examine like who I am and be able to help others who are, because that's come up in every training that I've had within my organization. People are like, oh yeah. Yeah. Like I've dealt with you. So it's the more that we can start to explore it on our own, the more we can be able to help others be proud of exactly who they are. Because we might be the only ones like in their circle doing that.
Thank you for sharing that. I feel like what you just said is so powerful because all of us have those moments of like, who am I? Who am I to be that person when it seems like there's so much out there already? To then realize and to step into like, I am the one to do this. Like I am actually the only one and I'm the only one. And that's how it's going to be, biracial or not. Like it's really Kate's job to run this organization and to bring it to where it's been. And I love how you shared that because it is really powerful because it comes up for everyone. It's like these little thoughts in your head that can derail us really quickly. And then our job is not to say that those thoughts are true, but to actually say, no, what is this about? Like, what am I here for? What is true for me instead? Yeah. Well, I'd love to, you shared this a little bit in, you know, we do some pre-interview questions and you had shared a little bit this fun fact. And I actually am interested, not really so much in the what you said, which is that you were a stripper in your 20s, but I'm actually really interested in you being able to own that, like what it took mm-hmm. for you to be able to own that that was part of your past.
Yeah. So yeah, that was part of my past for a couple of years in my 20s when I lived in New York City. And I think actually that leads into why the New York City Marathon is so precious to me is that I'm doing something now with my body that is like benefiting the good in the world instead of what I felt like it was in that instance as a stripper. And so, yeah, I felt like in New York, I was looking for just the most amount of material things. And that's nobody's fault but mine for sure. And I owned it. Yeah, that's what I did. And then I met my husband, not there in that environment, but I did meet my husband. And immediately talking about that intuition that comes and that sign, like I was like, oh, wow, this is an amazing man. And these two things can't be neither one will survive with the other. So I chose him. And best decision I've ever made. And so yet after that, like I was super quiet about it. I was like, oh my gosh, like what shame I have over that choice that I made and that lifestyle that I led. And I carried that. I carried that a long time. And through this work, through leadership, being able to actually bring it back up into the light. And being, you know, understanding like this was the decision that I made and like the creator that I belong to, like doesn't want me to have shame. He wants me to have freedom And that's not carrying this baggage around because I'm a new person through him. And so I was able to finally like just say like, this is what I did. And, you know, when things like, leadership workshops with Lightyear came around and it was like empowering, like, just like, oh, I said it and nothing happened. Like nobody left the room or was like, oh, you know, or anything like that. And then, so it happened that I was at, we used to own a gym in New Orleans and we had the best coaches and we'd normally find these coaches from the Baptist Theological Seminary in New Orleans. And there was one time we were cleaning up at the end of the night and Coach Brett, he asked me, he's like, hey, what were you doing when you met Carrie? And just like a young seminary guy, just like ask, I don't know why he would ask me this question. And I'd never said it to a man, especially like another man when there's nobody else around. It just seemed like, well, I would never do that. That's weird. That's crossing. But something said, just say it. And I said it. He's like, well, you know what? They have this ministry that they have a booth at the seminary every now and then. And this ministry is called Inward. And these ladies are just the coolest. And they go into the strip clubs on Bourbon Street. And they just, they love the women. Like they say like, hey girl, I'm here. I'm not trying to, you know, make you do anything or say you're doing the wrong thing. They just go in, they bring gifts, they bring chocolate. Is there any way I can pray with you? And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. There's people that just go and do this and the girls are receiving of it. And he's like, yeah, here's, call my friend Holly. And I was like, I will. And so I did. And so through the meeting these women, and I thought they're all going to be ex-strippers. They weren't. They were just cute little church ladies of all ages. And going into those strip clubs and thinking like, man, I remember my frame of mind, like there's no way I talk to a church lady. Like, how is this going to work? And that was me. That was me placing the limitations of my mindset on what was about to happen. And these girls would just start crying like, oh my gosh, I just needed somebody to talk to tonight because this is hard. And, you know, it's not like I'm telling you, girlfriend, you better get out of here right away. It's like, we just show up and listen. And if they need prayer, they need prayer. If they need chocolate, if they need some, you know, whatever else, tissues that we bring, toiletries, like that's that. And then perhaps we have conversations on social media later that they can, you know, maybe go a little bit deeper into what they're dealing with. So like, I realized this thing that I had shame about and didn't want to tell anybody about, because it's such a, like, what a horrible decision. And like, what a label that could be with me for the rest of my life, like actually became something beautiful. And it was like creating relationships with these girls that still like DM me every now and then, like, hey, how are you doing? Looks so cool. Like what you're doing. I'd love to do that one day. And I'm like, you can. Like you totally could. So yeah, that's why I do mention that every now and then. It's not for sensation. It's to allow people to know, like, whatever your past is and whatever those decisions that you made, some things happened on your decision, some things didn't. And no matter what, that shame can still be over us and like lock us down, like paralyze us. And that's not how we were created. That's not why we were created. They were horrible things that happened, yet I do believe, my belief, that we do belong to a creator who will make all things good. And if that can happen, where like that was part of my past, and then like I come into this ministry of just going and talking to girls that like want it, like want to have somebody listen and want prayer, like anything is possible. Your story is power. Our story is the most powerful thing that we have to share. It really is. It's such a relational, like magic thing that can happen in that moment when people realize like, oh, like she didn't just like all this happen. And she wasn't just always this perfect little like church lady or whatever people might think of me. Like, no, like there was a lot of kicking and screaming before I got to the point of like realizing like, oh, wow. Like I love being in the way that I place that I am now, where like I'm happy with like telling anybody anything. There's no question that I wouldn't feel uncomfortable answering. And that's a beautiful thing to be able to share that with others.
Well, what I'm really getting from everything that you're sharing, Kate, and including that story, is that willingness to be vulnerable about it and that you can own that. And that, you know, someone said this to me the other day, that our deepest vulnerabilities are actually the most universal themes of life. And so even though I haven't been in your shoes, I can relate to all of it, like having an experience where you feel shame and then you lock it down, like you said, and then you're like, I don't want to talk about it. Or, you know, going into later, like, oh, feeling like an imposter, or all of those pieces, that everything that we ever feel, other people can fully relate to. And then what I love what you're sharing too, is that you also, you know, through your faith and through your belief have been able to navigate it, to keep going and actually be who you're here to be. Like, you're not letting any of those things stop you. Cause I think that's the real challenge for so many people. It's like, there is a lot that they're here to do. And sometimes the shame or other things, fear and the doubt, can keep them from navigating that pathway. And that's what I really love about what you're saying, is you've been able to find ways forward and through, even when you feel like you might get stopped and it gets a little shaky, and then you keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's part of the yoga path too. It's that skill in action. It's not just sitting back and being like, I'm just going to meditate on it. I'm just going to pray about it and we'll see what happens. Like, it's acting on it. And that's when, like, we start to be the change. Like, first it's with, first it's with ourselves and helping ourselves heal. And then like if we can be in that action, like, it can really elevate the whole, my belief, and it sounds kind of cheesy, but I think it would, can, and it does elevate the whole world.
It does. It absolutely does. I definitely believe that. Well, Kate, I'd love it if you have, do you have any, like, sort of a simple tip you would suggest for people who are really early on this journey and this pathway that they could just start to practice for themselves on a daily basis? I always talk about self-worth as a muscle. Like, it has to be something you do for yourself every day. Mm-hmm. And if there's something that you might offer to people as, like, one way to start to enter into it.
Yeah. Gosh, you know, the pandemic has been challenging in so many ways, and isolation has been a big part of that. And I would say the main thing is to plug into people who you like their vibe, whatever that means to you. If it's leadership, if they're doing something in the world that you're curious about, because again, just like I mentioned earlier in some of the story, you might think like, oh gosh, they're so busy and they'll tell me no. But these people, like, people want that. People, that's their purpose too. And so I would say surrounding yourself or reaching out or requesting from people like, hey, I'd really like to learn more about what you do and how you do it. And so I know this podcast is about that, but really doing it in person, like doing, or over the phone or live. So not just like kind of getting into our headphones and listening to podcasts all day, which are great. Yet we need that human interaction of somebody that would be over the moon to help mentor you. So that's for me. And I know we both have an amazing mentor. I can't even imagine what my life would be without her. So really plugging in to people who you like their vibe.
I love that, because I always think that back to when I met Suzanne. So Suzanne Conrad is our respective teacher. And I met her and I was like, there's something about that lady. And I better get in the door with her. Like, I better do whatever I can to be around her, because she's got something for me. And, you know, 13 years later, still doing it, you know, like, still with her on that. So I love what you're saying, because it is really important. I think sometimes we can, you know, and it's nothing wrong with like your current communities, but to know that there are people who can take you somewhere. And when you can feel that energy, those are the people to do what it takes to connect with them, to move forward. So I love that tip, Kate. That's so beautiful. Okay, are you ready for rapid fire questions?
I guess I'm. Yeah, absolutely.
They're easy. You'll do great. Okay, what was the last thing you watched on TV?
Oh, probably just the morning news. Going on in my community. Yeah.
Okay, amazing. Awesome. What is on your nightstand?
What is on my nightstand? I have a. It's a New Testament, Native American version of the New Testament. So it really paints it in a beautiful way. I don't know if it's like whoever approved or whatever, like as far as different versions of the Bible go. Yet it's really cool and beautiful and eloquent. I like reading different versions, but that one's been a really cool one lately, is the Native American version of the New Testament.
Awesome. And then when was the last time you tried something new, and what was it?
Oh, I want to try something new. Gosh. I'm sure I've tried something new at some point. Oh, well, there's this. Yeah. So I just started coaching runners. So I got my RRCA coaching certification, and I've been teaching a group at my church. My church has this half marathon. And yeah, so I'm doing that and helping people with plans and learning from it and making learning circumstances happen. And I'm not going to say failures, but we learn from them. And yeah, so that's been a lot of fun. So I'm a brand new running coach, learning how to do all the running coach things.
That's so cool. I love that. Totally new skill to be a running coach. Amazing. Okay. And then last one is, what are your top three most used emojis on your phone?
Oh gosh. Definitely 100% is on there. The happy face with like the kind of, he's got long eyes. Like he's really like, like really excited. And, what's the other one? A heart. Definitely a heart. And I like hearts of all colors. So I'm like multicolored heart lady.
I love that. I'm with you too. I'm like, you can't just choose one heart. There's so many choices.
I know.
For that.
I love them all. Yeah. Yes.
Well, Kate, it's been such a pleasure to have you. I mean, really, truly, like such a beautiful conversation today. So if people want to know more about you or reach out or contribute in any way, what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah. So the website for our organization is nativestrengthrevolution.org. So they can find us on there. My contact info is on there. And of course, we're on social media as well. I'm on social media, mainly Instagram, as Kate Herrera Jenkins. So anybody can, I'd love for anyone to reach out.
She is part of that high vibe energy you definitely want to be around. So we'll include all of that in the show notes. Kate, again, such an honor to really have you on this conversation. And I love everything you've shared and your story. And thank you so much for being here with all of us today.
Oh, thank you, Nicole. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Without each of you, this podcast would not be in the world. If you loved what you heard today, do me a favor and leave a 5-star rating and review of the show. And screenshot this episode and share it on social media and tag me at Nicole Salm. Every positive review and share out there makes such a big difference to helping get the word out. We are so grateful for all of your support. And if you're ready to work towards an aligned life filled with clarity and confidence, send me a DM at Instagram at Nicole Salm and let me know what resonated most from this episode. Until next time, I'm Nicole Salm, and this is the School of Self-Worth.